Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
In the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, we hear, "Your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Gracious God, as we complete our work for this week, we pray that your word continues to bring joy to our hearts so that we may live that word and share it with the loved ones we return to this day. As we discern your word this weekend, may we keep your judgments and live in your grace so that we may be at peace with one another. And we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to touch and heal our doorkeeper, Bill Werick, so that he may be strengthened and returned to full health. All this we ask in your holy name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You have heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. The senator from Buchanan. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. The senator from 23rd.
Photographers from KRCG-TV and the Missouri News Horizon have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, only I was going to request to inquire of the senator from the first.
Does the senator from the first yield?
I do.
He yields. You may inquire.
Morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator. And you remember our discussion yesterday morning in which we discussed the situation where a St. Louis police officer testified in one of our Senate committees that he had witnessed an episode of obvious, what he thought was corruption, reported it to his superiors, who did apparently nothing, and since that time, no media report of that event has ever occurred. In fact, you might be very surprised to know that I didn't see anything in the media and John Combest about it since yesterday.
Well, you know, Senator, I likewise looked this morning and didn't see anything. You'd think, if nothing else, there would be the beginnings of rumblings of an investigation that might spur, you know, the media to report that since this happened in a public hearing in the Missouri Senate, that some kind of follow-up would happen.
You would expect some follow-up of something. I mean, here we had a situation where a police officer went up to a street vendor, asked him for his business license. The street vendor held up a business card of a St. Louis City alderman and said, "I gave my money to this guy." Now, that is such a per se example of corruption that I just can't imagine that everybody's looking the other way, turning their head, totally ignoring it. Is that what happens in St. Louis routinely?
I would hope not, Senator.
Well, you know, the police officer actually stated that his fellow officers tell him that similar things happen to them all the time. And I just wonder if the corruption in St. Louis is that rampant. I mean, I just can't believe there's a conspiracy of silence here. Nobody is even reporting this in the newspaper. Nothing. How do you figure?
Well, I don't know, Senator, but it surely speaks to our concern about the governance of St. Louis City and the idea of giving that entity any more control.
Well, I agree, but, you know, there have got to be some people listening on the Internet right now that should be up in arms. I mean, this is the United States. This is not some third world country where there's bribery and things go on. This is America, and we're supposed to live by a higher standard here. And when somebody goes to a Senate committee and testifies, and not a single person goes up to that police officer and says, hey, you know, tell us more. How about go to the police office, chief of police, and say, hey, what happened here? There was no investigation? I'm outraged.
And, Senator, I think you should be. If nothing else, the word should be getting back to us that it was followed up on, okay? And
yeah.
At least the process, you know, had been thoroughly gone through to see if there was anything to this
exactly
allegation.
Exactly right. Somebody should report back. And, you know, somebody in the media should report on what happened. They should. And I'm hoping, Senator, that by Monday, maybe by Monday when we come back in, maybe then there will be some report about this. Don't you think?
I hope so, Senator.
I hope so, and thank you for your inquiry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
We are on the order of business of introductions. Senator from the 4th.
May I inquire with the Senator from Buchanan?
Can we introduce guests real quick?
Yep.
We're on the order of business of introduction of guests, and the chair will henceforth recognize senators rising for that purpose. The senator from Christian.
President, the introduction of special guest. I'd like to introduce Dr. Bill Reynolds, our doctor of the day over here on the bench, and his daughter, Rachel, a seventh grader at Nixa Junior High. He is our doctor of the day, from my neighbor, and I really appreciate him coming up here and being with us. I think he's already had 3 calls over in the House this morning, so I would sure like the Senate to make him feel welcome
Let's
today
all
and
welcome
Rachel.
Welcome the doctor of the day who makes House calls and his daughter. The senator from the 13th, are you seeking recognition?
Introduction of very special guests, Mr. President. To your right and my left, we have 3 very distinguished bishops visiting with us today, along with the senator from Green and the senator from Cape Girardeau, and of course you, Mr. President. We have the bishop from the Diocese of Springfield, Cape Girardeau, Bishop James Johnson, Jr. From the central Missouri, Jefferson City area, whose father is a retired member of the local I belong to, Electrical Workers Local 1, we have Bishop John Gatus, and we have newly ordained auxiliary bishop from the Archdiocese of St. Louis, Bishop Edward Rice, who is my cousin, who married me, who said the funeral mass for my mother, and has baptized a lot of my nieces and nephews. If all 3 of these distinguished bishops would please rise.
Let's welcome these guests to the Missouri Senate from the Roman Catholic Church. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce some very special guests. Down in front, we have Dakota Muncy, Elise Berman, and Natalie Berman. And then over on my left and your right, we have Nate and Amber Berman, Alan and Sherry Muncy. They're from Macon, Missouri, and I would like to have Dakota, Elise, and Natalie be made pages for the day to serve without compensation.
The young people will be made pages for the day to serve at compensation to be paid by the senator from Saline. And let's welcome the guests of the senator from Saline. Introduction, Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. A good friend of mine, Chris Burnett, came by to visit this morning. This is his first visit to our state capitol. He is on my left and your right, and I'd ask my colleagues to please make him feel welcome.
Will the guest of the senator from 23rd please rise for recognition by the Senate. Further introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor?
I don't see the Secretary. They're affirmative.
Okay. Does it need to be waived? Printed in the journal? Would you?
They shall be printed in the journal.
Thank you,
Senator.
Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing
reports
committees.
Reports of standing committees. The Senator from Stoddard, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please refer the gubernatorial appointments to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments.
It shall be so referred, sir.
And, Mr. President, would you please refer the addendum also to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments?
Yes, sir. Shall be so done. Committee reports.
Mr.
Senator
President.
From 23rd.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules has a report.
Send it forward, sir, via one of the pages. Read the committee report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 173, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 163 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 161 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 55 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
We are on the order of business of committee reports. Senator from Howell. Senator from Howell.
Yes, Mr. President, I have a report.
Send it forward.
This one, you need that one.
By one of the young pages. Read the committee report of the Senator from Howell.
Mr. President, your Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills 113 and 95, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 135 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 188 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Pergeson, Chairman.
Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have committee reports from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, and the copies have been distributed to the desk.
Send your committee report forward, or is it already at the dais?
It has been sent forward.
At the dais.
Mr. President, I'd ask for a waiver of the reading.
Reading will be waived, Senator.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on the above reports in one motion.
Does any senator object to the unanimous consent request? Seeing none, we shall proceed accordingly.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointments and reappointments.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator renews his motion on adoption of the committee report in one sweep confirming all the nominees. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee report is adopted. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills on third reading.
Senate bills on third reading. Senate Bill 188, the Senator from Andrew. You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us for third reading.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 188 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Senate Bill 188 is the employment law that we discussed. I believe it was last week we perfected it, and it came out of fiscal review. I would move for the third reading and final passage. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. With that, I renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard on the motion of Senator from Andrew? Senator from the 10th.
Mr. President, I'd like to speak on the bill.
Proceed, Senator.
Mr. President, for the same reasons that I discussed during the perfection of this bill, I think this is a really bad idea for Missouri. Number one, if this body was really interested in changing the language that had been passed by the courts, we had the opportunity here to actually pass some clean language that would actually say what we mean instead of referring to a bunch of federal cases and federal statutes. We did not do that in this. Furthermore, I think we are in a situation now where we are going to make it very easy for employers to discriminate in this state, and they're going to be able to say, well, you know, the maximum penalty that I'm going to have to pay on this is just $50,000. So, you know, if I want to fire this person who's just been diagnosed with cancer, I could probably save a lot on medical costs over the next few years. So I'm just going to fire her. I'm just going to fire her, and I'm going to let her kind of go out there and get her $50,000 judgment from me, and that's the end of it. I think that this is a complete farce. This is going to do absolutely nothing to create jobs in the state, which my understanding, one of our number one priorities this session was to create jobs. I have absolutely no idea how this is going to create a single job, and I'm saddened today that this is probably going to be passed by this chamber. So, colleagues, I would appreciate your no vote on this. I think it's the best thing that we could do for Missouri to say no.
Senator from the 11th.
Mr. President, speak on the bill.
Proceed, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're not going to create jobs in this state by making it easier to fire people. And that's what this bill does. And worse than that, it makes it easier for employers to fire people who try to tell the truth. There's no protection in this bill that somebody who has a reasonable belief that something is illegal, there's no protections. They have to go to a prosecutor. Just 10 minutes ago, we had two of our colleagues talk about an issue that they'd heard in committee in the St. Louis Police Department. In that case, if that policeman saw something wrong, he would have to be totally assured that what he was reporting was illegal just this morning, or he would be fired if it didn't turn out to be precisely illegal. He couldn't have faith in himself or faith in his others to realize that there was a reasonable belief that they saw something wrong. This helps the bad actor. This helps the wrongdoer. And for this reason, it's bad policy. It's a bad direction to go for employment in the state. It doesn't create one single job. And for that reason, I urge my colleagues to vote no on a bad idea, a bad direction for the state. We need to create jobs. We need to not make it easier for employers to fire people. And that's all this bill does. And worst of all, Mr. President, it punishes people who try to come forward to tell the truth.
Senator from the 15th.
We'd ask for unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Up in the upper gallery here today are the parents, teachers, and students from Robinson Elementary's fourth grade class. Robinson has a very strong tradition in the Kirkwood School District of high achievement. A lot of great parents involved in their kids' education. They're here today along with the Pages, Grace Cunningham, Deshaun Jackson, and Riley Morgan. I would ask that they serve as Pages without compensation here today and make everybody make them
young
feel
people will be made Pages for the day. Will all the guests of the senator from the 15th please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate?
Mr. President.
Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator.
Mr. President. Thank
yes.
you. While we're still... You're looking down. I didn't know you were looking at me. We've got some other folks here from my district, from another part of the district, from Valley Park Elementary. And with them, Don and Susan Sears, Mason and Carson Sears, Lance and Aaron Greer, Gabriella Greer, Sarah Carpenter, Isaac Bruns, and Brian Cockrell are here from Valley Park Elementary, along with some other pages I've got here today. Mason Sears, Carson Sears, Isaac Bruns, Gabriella Greer, which I previously introduced but are actually up there, and would ask that everybody make them feel welcome.
Will all the guests of the senator from the 15th he just acknowledged please rise for a recognition by the Senate? Does any senator wish to be heard on the motion of Senator from Andrews? Senator from Clay.
There's a speak on the bill.
Proceed, sir. Ma'am.
Mr. President, I have been concerned for a long time. The government always carves out a different and lower standard for government than what we apply to private individuals and private business. And that disturbs me most greatly in this bill. I offered an amendment. The body did not see fit to adopt it. I don't intend to filibuster the bill, but I do intend to remind people that we are doing today just exactly what people hate most about government. We are carving out a special status for government where that they're not liable for the same amount of damages that the private individual and private business is held responsible for. And I realize that people say, oh, well, it's the taxpayers that are at risk. Why would we not hold people responsible for punitive damages just simply because they're holding elective office rather than not? And I would contend that holding people responsible is quite a conservative idea, quite a Republican idea. Abe Lincoln, in 1863, passed the Lincoln Law that was passed. It is called the Federal False Claims Act or the Key-Tom Act. He passed the first federal law protecting whistleblowers and citizens to stop fraud and waste of tax dollars during the Civil War. He allows private citizens to sue companies that defraud the federal government. Teddy Roosevelt continued that, and Ronald Reagan expanded that. This is a conservative idea to hold government feet to the fire, just the same as we hold private business and private individuals. There's examples of what happened when people are afraid to blow the whistle. Now, while I offered an amendment, I don't believe that either side on the polar extremes of this are totally right. I do believe that we could have arrived at a better decision on where we could land with regard to whistleblowers. Look at what happened in Enron. The employees who warned of a fraud problem were pushed out. Others were afraid to speak. The company failed, and thousands of innocent employees lost their retirement. Millions of Americans lost their investments. Bernie Madoff, the same thing. Nobody stood up and spoke out. Despite the signs that he was lying, billions of dollars were lost. Then let me take it down to my own district and talk about government waste and fraud. The Liberty School District, hundreds of thousands of dollars of construction contracts let without following bidding law, allowing the assistant superintendent to play favorites or leverage personal favors. Thousands of dollars in fine dining, junkets, trips to Napa Valley on the taxpayer dollars, purchasing alcohol for parties and an administrator's home. Falsified a superintendent retirement so that he could just run over the retirement system and the school district for more than $400,000 in compensation, millions of dollars in bond overruns. Two people were in a position to report and prevent this from getting out of hand, but they were both afraid of being fired or being blackballed by the administration for future jobs. A local parent finally figured it out that something was wrong through Sunshine Request, and we wound up getting some resolution to it. And then we go over to Lisa McCray from Richmond, Missouri. He was a payroll secretary in the school district. She witnessed waste, fraud, and abuse of tax money and reported it to the district auditor. She was emboldened by what happened in the Liberty School District and how successful the parents were to speak out. But nonetheless, if for some reason, based on all the facts that she had then available to her, if for some reason, now under the law that we passed today, with 2020 hindsight, somebody decides that she's wrong, she's fired. And there's no protection for her, even though she was doing her very best to be responsible with taxpayer dollars, responsible to the citizens and the children of the district. I believe that we could have fashioned this bill in a way that I could have supported it. However, the way that it is now, most onerously, dividing out categories of government responsibility that is different and more protected than what we are doing with private citizens and private individuals. For that reason alone, I cannot support this legislation, and I would encourage people to not continue this awful trend of segregating out government for special protection when we expose our private citizens to that very conduct. Thank you, Mr. President.
The senator from the 5th.
Speak on the bill, Mr. President.
Proceed.
I had a conversation with my 38-year-old son the other night who keeps a radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And he mentioned as I was listening that at his age, he is having to fight for things that were in place before he was ever born. I was 14 years old when the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was passed, and I was grateful for it and what I knew at 14 years of age. Now at 61, I am looking at 50 years worth of gains being wiped out in one fell swoop by a vote in the General Assembly of Missouri. That's a travesty. It's regression. We are not progressing. The American worker has been the backbone of this country for the past 100 years during the industrial age of America, and we're putting them at risk again. We have to go back and fight these back into place, which is time-consuming and drawing us away from 21st century issues. I would urge the members of this body to give the history of the worker, the history of the gains, the fact that it is the worker who's the backbone of every corporation and every company. They need the worker to do their job, to be productive, to put the services and the products at our fingertips. They need to be protected. They need to come to the table and have discussion with the corporations about how the lion and the lamb can lay down together without the lion getting up and the lamb is missing. We need to have the opportunity to have that dialogue, and by regressing and going in the opposite direction, we definitely jeopardize that opportunity, and you make us have to work for things that have already occurred. When a 38-year-old says, I now have to work to put back in place the things that were in place before I was ever born, then you have cut into the Generation Xers and the Generation Yers who are our future. They're going to spend their time rebuilding my past so they could then move forward and be of some support to their families. It's a travesty, and I urge the members in this body to give that serious consideration. I will not support the measure, and I'm hoping that it will fail today. Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from the 10th.
May I inquire of the senator from the 9th, please?
Does the senator from the 9th yield for inquiry?
I do.
She yields. You may inquire.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome to the Senate.
Thank you.
Senator, you were not a senator when we actually perfected this bill, were you?
No, I was not.
You were over in the House, and so you weren't able, we just had a little discussion, you weren't able to actually hear a lot of the discussion that we had on the day that this bill was perfected.
That's correct.
And I just wanted to go through and see if you knew about a couple of the provisions in here so that you could have a really good sense of what we're voting on here
today. Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
And I'm going to kind of highlight, I'm not going to take as long as I did when we were perfecting the bill, but I want to highlight some of the specific things that are in here so that you can kind of know where we're headed with this. The history of this is starting in about 2003, there were some Supreme Court decisions that many people in the business community did not like relating to employment law. Mm-hmm. And as part of this quote-unquote fix the six this year that the business community is pushing forward, saying that it will help with job creation in this state, they have come up with the idea that we should probably make it easier to discriminate against employees, because if we do that, that will somehow keep companies in the state of Missouri. I think it's kind of shameful to think that those are the types of companies that we'd like to attract or retain.
I agree.
But
absolutely.
But that's their, you know, that's their thought, and so they're rolling with it. So anyway, so what they're doing is they're essentially saying we would like to take Missouri employment discrimination law and basically make it the same as federal employment discrimination law, which, you know, on its face doesn't sound like a bad idea. Unfortunately, they haven't done that with this legislation. Mm-hmm. What they've done is they claim that through this I believe to be poorly written piece of legislation, they claim to be making us in line with the feds, but in reality, there are several areas where there's actually an opposition. Okay. And I've got some charts that, you know, you haven't had, unfortunately, the time to look at because you're just now over here. But the charts kind of show some of the areas where it's not exactly the same. Now, one of my thoughts was, is if you want to be exactly the same, why don't you just take the language from the feds and put it into, codify it, put it into statute, and make it very clear to the courts that this is what we're going to do. But they didn't do that. In fact, there is some concern from the Missouri Human Rights Commission, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you even know this yet, from Kansas City, from their Office of Civil Rights, mm-hmm. that by passing this, we're actually going to become out of compliance with the feds, and we stand to actually lose a lot of federal dollars because of that.
Right. I think I remember hearing that. It was several hundred thousand, I think, at least.
Yeah, on the city level, and then on the state level, about 1.1 million. I find it interesting because we hear a lot in this chamber, and you may have heard a lot of this in your previous chamber, that the feds have it all wrong, that we should send a message to them that they're on a sinking ship, that it's the Titanic, and all we're doing is rearranging the deck chairs. Yet in this instance, we're expected to look at the feds and adopt their ideas, you know, whole. So I'm starting to have a problem deciding when are we supposed to agree with the feds and when are we not. That's been a little confusing. I mean, for instance, on minimum wage, they want to tie us to the feds. On employment discrimination, they want to tie us to the feds. But on health care, no feds. The unemployment benefits that we obviously need to get passed through for the 13,212 folks that'll be affected like that. No, we don't want their money on that one. So just from a basic I'm confused standpoint, this is getting increasingly interesting. The second issue, though, is frankly this. We are now going to be removing, and I want to make sure that you understand this, from Missouri law, individual liability for bad actors who do this. So here's the situation. You have a young woman who's working at a chain restaurant, and she's sexually harassed by someone at that restaurant. It's one of her superiors. And we are saying that that individual can no longer be held individually responsible. So the whole, you know, party of personal responsibility is saying, okay, yeah, we're going to throw that one out the window too, because the reality is that we don't want to hold that individual responsible. Instead, we want to hold the group as a whole responsible. So wanted to make sure you were aware that they were putting that provision in there. And then the other issue is relating to the caps. And I mentioned just briefly the idea of having the caps and there being a maximum for the small businesses of up to 100 people, a cap now of $50,000 that a potential plaintiff could bring. And the most compelling stories that I heard were from individuals who came to the Capitol and talked about the fact that they had been fired when either their child was diagnosed with a disease or they individually were diagnosed with the disease. And then the employer took a look at it and said, my health care costs are going to go through the roof. And so it's actually easier for me to fire you and take the gamble than it is for me to do the right thing and keep you employed and pay for your health care costs.
Right.
I think that's absolutely one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
I agree.
And did you all discuss this on the House floor yet at all?
We did some of these issues.
Okay, some of these issues.
Right.
And so that was another big thing, was this idea of the caps. You know, one of the things that we learned at the very beginning of law school was the story of the Ford Pinto case, where they had these exploding bumpers. And, you know, the Ford Motor Company made the decision that it would actually be cheaper just to pay the dead people than it would be to fix the exploding bumper. And so they made that cost-benefit, you know, analysis, and that's what they came up with. That's what's going to happen to these employees.
Wow.
And I have absolutely no idea how that is ever going to help create a job or help retain a job in this state.
I agree. It's awfully discouraging. It's hurtful. Very much so, to many of us who have had great sensitivity to some of these issues, either as a parent, as a person that's been discriminated against. Many of these items in this bill will be extremely hurtful, detrimental to many folks in this state. And I don't think it's fair, and I don't agree with it. And clearly, I do not think that a cap of $50,000 should be sufficient enough for anyone that would be discriminated against, especially if the court were to find that it was much more. I mean,
absolutely,
they would do more.
I mean, part of the concept behind punitive damages is that you're punishing the person, and
it only kicks in
once the jury has decided, yes, there has been intentional discrimination here.
Absolutely.
We have taken a look at the facts, and we have decided this person has been discriminated against. But we're only going to punish you to the tune of $50,000, which the employer's thinking he's got enough scot-free. That's
a good deal.
Absolutely. That's a great deal. So, you know, that's absolutely frustrating. And then the last piece that I really wanted to make sure you were aware of, and both the senator from the 11th and the senator from Clay actually brought it up a little bit, is the whistleblower piece.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part that concerns me as well. I mean, the reality is that if you have an employee who thinks they see something illegal taking place, we want to encourage them
absolutely
to blow the whistle.
That's important.
And at this point, we've made it so confusing for the employee that I think we are actually going to chill their speech, and we're going to keep them from stepping forward, because they're going to be worried that if they blow the whistle on this illegal activity, that they may not have protection if they are fired. And the reason is that we are requiring, even though we offered some ideas to change the language and say, hey, look, let's mirror the federal language on this, and let's say that you have to have, you know, reasonable suspicion or something like that. In this instance, this is one of the instances where they didn't want to follow what the feds do. So once again, that kind of confusing.
It is. It's been confusing on the House side as well.
They didn't want to follow that. And so basically now we're saying that the illegal act actually has to take place. And so if you blow the whistle and then you find out it wasn't maybe your boss that did the illegal act, but it was one of your boss's contract employees, or maybe you thought it was illegal, but it wasn't illegal at all, you can still be fired. You can still be fired.
Wow.
and you have no protection from that.
That's concerning, especially since we happen to work in state government. I mean, Wow.
And the last thing that really angers me about this, because when we had the committee hearing on this, and you weren't able to hear that testimony either, one of the things that I asked for, because the way it was pitched to us at the very beginning is, the man who wrote this bill, he said that he'd had conversations with companies who made the decision to move to Nebraska or other states, because our employment laws were so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked that day for one example, one concrete example, give me any proof that any company has ever left this state because of our employment discrimination laws. And absolutely nothing, dead silence. There is absolutely no proof that any job has ever left this state because of our employment discrimination laws. On the other hand, Senator, an issue that we're going to get to later in the session, we've had plenty of folks who've gone to other states, and you and I see this more than probably anybody else. We've had plenty of folks move to Kansas because they have economic development incentives that we don't have.
Absolutely.
And so when the business communities are back home talking to me, they have never once said to me, please make our employment laws stronger. Let's make it easier for me to fire our employees. No, across the board, every single one of them said, give us the tools we need to keep our companies in Missouri and to attract new businesses. But unfortunately, this Senate body has been unwilling, and you may have heard this over the years too, because you all have passed some great things out of the House and sent them over to us, and they've died here.
Right.
They've died in this chamber.
Very true.
Because we do not have the discussion. And so, Senator, one of the things that I just wanted to give you a little bit of the institutional knowledge about what's been going on over here, the reason we haven't been able to have the conversation about those economic development incentive tools is because a lot of folks in this chamber want to have a discussion first about tax credit reform. And you know what? I want to have that conversation about tax credit reform. Mm-hmm. It's time to have it. And so one of the things that I would ask you, Senator, to do with me is to encourage the leadership of this body to finally, once and for all, let's have those discussions about tax credit reform. Let's get it over with so that we can start moving the state forward instead of continually losing out to states like Kansas.
Right. Clearly, I agree. I mean, I would echo everything you just said. The issue of tax credit reform is something that's extremely important to me as well. As a new member, I absolutely hope that that's something that we can get behind us so that we can move forward. There is so much opportunity for business, big business, small business, over in Kansas. Missouri is clearly losing millions and millions and millions of dollars, clearly on the Kansas City side, because of the deals that they're able to get over in Kansas. So I agree there completely. I agree with all of your thoughts on this bill. This bill is particularly scary for those of us that happen to be minorities. Clearly, it rolls back the hands of time for many of us. It's scary. It's something that's been a huge issue in my community at home, other organizations, civil rights organizations. It's disheartening. It's scary, very scary for many of us. And I certainly hope that the body will vote against this bill.
Well, Senator, thank you so much for your inquiry. I just wanted to make sure that you had kind of the Cliff Notes version of what we discussed when we perfected this bill the other day. And I appreciate your time. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to speak on this bill.
Proceed.
Thank you. In 2007, there was a constituent of mine, Daphne Jones, who was fired at her job because on Martin Luther King's Day, she chose to wear a button that stated, "I love being black." I was upset and dismayed by that experience, and I wanted to help her out any way I could. The first thing that I did in my weekly newsletter to my constituents, I wrote a small article, which was actually put into the St. Louis American in February of 2007. And I'm going to read it to you because I want the body to fully understand what is currently happening in the state of Missouri and what has happened previously. And this article is called Discriminate at Will. A firing by healthcare strategic initiatives raises issues about workforce legislation. America is often called a melting pot. It is our differences in race, color, creed, and religion, among other things, that make this country so unique. I have instituted laws to protect these differences that make up who we are. However, Healthcare Strategic Initiatives, HSI, a St. Louis-based company, does not see the virtue in this protection. HSI recently fired an employee, my constituent, Daphne Jones, after wearing an "I love you" or "I love being black" button a few days right before Martin Luther King's birthday. His birthday is honored as a legal holiday because of his philosophy of nonviolence, inclusivity, and social equality. Jones sought outside counsel to research the company policy. She did this to help her better understand why she was asked to remove her button. As a result, she was fired. She received no warning, no notice in writing, or any other form of communication explaining why her outside attorney's presence in the office was a violation to company policy. This is interesting because she has a stellar work history, stellar attendance record, and has never been reprimanded for anything. I'm going to stop right there because I want this body to understand that anytime there are people who are just being who they are, they may be LGBT, they may be handicapped, they may be big, like I'm a big woman, they may be too skinny, they may be too tall. All of these differences that we have should actually be appreciated. Anytime an individual is fired, it should be for a reason, dealing with their work, not with who they are. I am going to vote against this bill today because I do not want any other constituents of mine to have to deal with discrimination at will. And let me say another thing. When I heard on this floor and in committee that Martin Luther King stood next to the president when the Civil Rights Bill was passed, that was offensive to me. Yes, it was a good move. It was only one step. so that every single individual in the black community and other minorities would have an opportunity to engage and to be appreciated and to be who they want to be honored for being different, to be honored for being black and proud. It is no different than someone being honored and proud to be Irish American. Mr. President, this is a move in the wrong direction. Yes, Martin Luther King stood with the president because it was one small move in the right direction. He did not intend to make that the only move towards the right direction. African Americans, Hispanics, Latinos, whatever you are, if you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you are blind, if you are deaf, whatever you may be, Mr. President, you should have the right to go to work and not be discriminated against for who you are. This is the show me state. And obviously, in the Fix the Six, we are being shown that we are not good enough to advance. We are being shown that every single Missourian is not going to be respected at the same level. Understand that we are going back to 1965. Understand that this provides the potential to go back to 1865. Remember that. 1865. Mr. President, I am voting against this bill today because I stand on the principle that every single American is created equal and they should have the full accommodation of the law. Thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator from Atchison is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I close, let me remind everyone what this bill does. In 1964, with Martin Luther King standing next to him, the President of the United States signed into law the Civil Rights Act. For nearly 40 years following that act, Missouri employment law and Missouri discrimination law mirrored and was practiced exactly according to the federal law. Beginning in the mid-2000s, through judicial activism and through judicial movement, the courts have rewritten employment law and rewritten discrimination law in the state of Missouri. And I believe it is the constitutional charge of the legislative body, those who make up this body and our colleagues on the House side, to fundamentally set the public policy of this state. Senate Bill 188 realigns Missouri's employment law with the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964. It is that simple. It does not go further. It does not go less. It puts us right back to where Missouri practiced law for 40 years before the judges of this state changed that. I do not believe it's the judiciary's charge to set public policy. It is ours. Senate Bill 188 is the public policy position, if passed by this body, the House, and signed by the governor, that would realign Missouri employment law and Missouri discrimination law with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. With that, Mr. President, I would encourage my colleagues to support this. I believe this is the right thing to do, just as Martin Luther King believed it was the right thing to do in 1964. With that, I close.
The senator from Holt moves that Senate Bill 188 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 188, an act relating to unlawful discriminatory practices. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Green. Senator from Howell. By your vote of 25 aye, 9 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Staying on the third reading calendar. Okay. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Staying on the third reading calendar, next bill is Senate Bill 284, Senator from Christian.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 284 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Christian.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 284 be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator from Christian moves that Senate Bill 284 be read a third time and finally passed. Would you care to explain
your bill? Mr. President, this bill we discussed earlier in the week, it will give clinical trials, badly needed clinical trials, a last chance possibly for some patients, a chance to have those drugs. Without this bill, those drugs would not be shipped into the state of Missouri. It also gives the Board of Pharmacy an opportunity. It strengthens their ability to look for bad actors in distributing those drugs. Currently, several Missouri hospitals are conducting clinical trials with investigational drugs for high-risk Missouri patients, including high-risk pediatric cancer patients that have not responded to conventional treatment. These clinical trials are extensively regulated by federal government, including the National Institute of Health and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Many of the drugs used in these clinical trials are not shipped by Missouri licensed distributors. Instead, they are shipped by or distributed by federal requirements. Some of these drugs are shipped by reputable hospitals like the Mayo Clinic. We give the Board of Pharmacy an opportunity to look for people who are bad actors in this, but these clinical trials are done not by huge pharmaceuticals a lot of times, but like the Mayo Clinic, universities, people like that that develop these drugs, and they can be the last chance for some of our folks. We have had one clinical trial, I believe at Children's Hospital, that was interrupted because we don't have this law, because they couldn't ship the drug into Missouri. This will simply solve that problem. There is an emergency clause. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
The senator from Christian moves that Senate Bill 284 be read a third time and finally passed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Christian moves that Senate Bill 284 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill. Call the roll.
Senate Bill 284, an act relating to the authority of the Board of Pharmacy with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Mercer. as a no. Change to an aye. Senator from the 15th. As a no. Change to an aye. Senator from Clay. As an aye. Senator from the 24th.
I'd like to mention the fact that I'm the third person that noticed that it was his first bill, but I think it's a silly tradition.
By your vote of 34 aye, 0 no, the bill having declared a constitutional majority is declared passed. Senator from Christian, you are recognized for an emergency clause motion.
Of the emergency clause.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll on the emergency clause.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevenie, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Cape Girardeau. Aye. By your vote of 34 ayes, 0 no, the emergency clause is adopted. If there's no objection,
be agreed to.
The senator from Christian moves the title be agreed to. All those of the opinion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Mr. President, I move that the vote by which the bill passed be reconsidered.
Senator from Christian moves that the bill that was just passed be reconsidered.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 11th.
I move that motion lay on the table.
Senator from the 11th moves that bill should be laid on the table. The motion. Senator from the 11th moves that the motion be laid on the table. Okay. All those in favor? Okay, the vote occurs on the latter motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion will be laid on the table. We're still on the third reading on the Senate bills. Seeing no objection, the chair would like to recognize two guests. I have two peculiar guests that I would like to introduce to you. First of all, to my right and your left is the mayor of Peculiar, Missouri, Mayor Ernie Youngmeyer from Peculiar, and City Administrator Brad Ratliff. So if the body would like to welcome the Peculiar guests in the chamber today. Third reading of Senate bills. The next one is Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 219, Senator from Christian.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 219 be taken up for third reading and finally final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 219 be read a third time and finally passed.
The senator from Christian moves that Senate Bill 219 be read a third time and finally passed. Senator, would you care to explain the bill?
Mr. President, this bill we also discussed earlier in the week. It simply gives our banks, Missouri banks, the opportunity to charge a fee at their ATMs to foreign customers, the same as foreign customers charge our folks when they go to Europe or somewhere else. That's really all it does. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion? Seeing none, senators recognize the close.
I close.
The senator moves that Senate Bill 219 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 219, an act relating to international transactions. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 11th. Senator from 11th votes aye. Senator from Stoddard. Senator from Stoddard votes aye. Senator from St. Francis. By your vote of 33 aye, 1 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there is no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from Christian?
Senator from Christian, do you yield?
I do.
Thank you, Senator. I guess you're letting me proceed.
Proceed.
I just want to let you know that I handled that bill last year, and I want to congratulate you on passing it. It's obvious that they found a better sponsor this year.
Well, I can't totally agree with that, Senator, but I appreciate your warming things up for me.
So you did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Senator from St. Francis, for what purpose do you rise?
I rise to seek unanimous consent to introduce guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Mr. President, on your right and my left, some people from Washington County, from Potosi Intermediate School. They're here with the art exhibit that's out in the foyer out there, and they're up here from the Potosi Intermediate School. So if the body would make them feel welcome, Mr. President.
Yes, would the guests of the Senator from St. Francis please stand and be recognized, and welcome to the state capitol. Thanks for coming. We are on the business of third reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Senate Bill 207, the Senator from Davies.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 207 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The one aye has it. Senator from Davies.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 207. First of all, I move that Senate Bill 207 be third read and placed upon its final passage. Senate Bill 207 repeals a requirement that the Missouri Energy Task Force must meet at least once annually. As we talked about during perfection, in 2005, the Energy Task Force was established. They've laid out the proposal and guideline. Every time this group meets, it's a very cumbersome, very time-consuming process, and there's no need to have them meet every year. So we're removing that requirement. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I would renew my motion for third reading and final passage.
The senator from Holt moves that Senate Bill 207 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, senators recognize the close.
I close.
Senator from Davies moves that Senate Bill number 207 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 207, an act relating to the Missouri Energy Task Force. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Staying on the third reading of Senate bills, Senate Bill number 61. Senator from the 4th.
I move that Senate Bill number 61 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 61 be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator has moved that Senate Bill 61 be read a third time and finally passed. Senator from the 4th, care to explain the bill?
Yes. This act requires that St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and in Jackson County, at least one of three commissioners appointed by the court in condemnation proceedings be either a licensed real estate broker or a licensed or certified real estate appraiser. With that, I'll answer any questions, and I'll close.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, senators recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from the 4th moves that Senate Bill 61 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 61, an act relating to condemnation commissioners. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Cape. Change the senator's vote to a no. Senator from the 9th. Senator from the 9th votes aye. By your vote of 31 aye, 3 noes, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Seeing no objection, let the journal show the titling perfecting motions were made and carried. Staying on the third reading of Senate bills, Senate Bill 135, the senator from Boone.
I move that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 135 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 135 third read and finally passed. This is the bill that we took up earlier this week. It deals mostly with the Petroleum Storage Tank Insurance Fund. It does a couple of things. It extends out the expiration date for the Dry Cleaning Environmental Response Fund to 2017. It allows the Petroleum Storage Tank Insurance Fund to meet and put together a program for emergency operation of tanks, which we are required to do by EPA. Otherwise, we would have to pay for that at the DNR. This way, PSTF is paying for it with their own funds. It also requires that state and local governments may not use a manufacturer's expiration date on a motor fuel measuring device as a basis for replacing the device other than some showing that it needs to otherwise be replaced. It requires that automatic volumetric correction devices measuring fuel at a gas station be authorized by statute instead of by rule, and it requires that the Department of Natural Resources set stage one and stage two motor fuel vapor recovery fees, and local governments may not change that. That's the bill.
Does any of the senators desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, senators recognize the close.
I close.
The senator from Boone moves that Senate Bill 135 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Bill 135, an act relating to environmental protection. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 10th. Senator from the 10th votes aye. Senator from Stoddard. Senator from Cape Girardeau. By your vote of 34 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. On the third reading of Senate Bills 113 and 95, Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 113 and 95 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 113 and 95 be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator from Polk moves that Senate Bills 113 and 95 be read a third time and finally passed. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yesterday, we heard this bill on the floor, and I made quite a lengthy opening statement trying to explain why this bill I felt was important to the state of Missouri. A couple of things briefly that I might just add to this, that I want everybody to understand under the rule process of the Department of Ag, for anybody that has any concerns of the veterinarian care, the square footage that are still out there, those can be changed at any time through the Department of Ag. And I think the future will hold and we will see changes in that because of what's happened out of this Proposition B and this bill. The other thing that I think is important that nobody had put officers on the street to strictly go after the enforcement of Senate Bill 113 and Proposition B. This adds 7 new enforcement officers to go out and check on the licensed breeders along with unlicensed breeders to try to clean this industry up and do a better job of regulating it without punishing good people doing good things that are doing their business under all the laws of the state of Missouri. Thank you, Mr. President. I also have an emergency clause.
The senator from Polk moves that Senate Bills 113 and 95 be read a third time and finally passed. Do remind the members there is an emergency clause. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Yes. Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
You know, we're in a really precarious situation dealing with this bill and Proposition B, and I really hate that the conversation has had to come to this point. When this measure was put on the ballot, you know, a lot of the people in my community, they were all for Proposition B when I went to the polls. I voted for Proposition B. Now, it was stated on the floor that most of us didn't even bother to read it. We were just concerned about the idea. We just liked the idea of saving puppies. But when we got into the nitty-gritty of this, what we found is that Prop B actually wasn't well written.
Right.
And that's a concern to me. And it's a concern to me that you would have members of the Humane Society, members of PETA, all of these organizations that would lobby and fund, because they brought millions of dollars into the state just to make sure that this thing passed. My concern is when there is a measure that is put on a ballot, it would seem, especially with the number of politicians who were involved in this measure, that they would bother to make sure that it did not have any conflicts with the current statutes. And when you and I talked last night, we
correct.
Called one of my constituents.
That's correct.
And we went through elements of this bill, and we went through elements of the statutes, and we also talked about Proposition B. My former constituent used to work for the Department of Ag. In fact, not only did she work for the Department of Ag as an inspector, trying to find out, you know, what kennels had broken regulations and all that. But when she came home on the weekends, she would show me these pictures of animals that were grossly abused. Some of the pictures that I saw had dogs hanging from trees. They had, you would see the bones of animals. I mean, I never thought in the state of Missouri, period, that anyone would treat animals the way that they have and the way that they do. But my problem with Proposition D is that it does not deal with rescues. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, this bill is supposed to be to protect the doggies, to protect animals, but it has nothing to do with rescues. It has nothing to do with shelters. Shelters. No shelters. So you and I came in at the same time. You were in the House when I was in the House. And in the House, when your constituents or lobby groups come to talk to you, you usually expect to get a full discussion. In the House, you didn't have to get all that discussion. In the Senate, there's much more that is required of us. Much more. We have to actually study. We have to look at statutes. We have to read these bills and see how things are being changed. Now, when I looked into this, and actually when we talked to my constituent as well, she said that sections of Proposition B actually were in conflict with sections of current statutes.
That's correct.
So she said that the measure to put in the water measure for an hour or whatever actually limits what's in current statute. So in current statute, it's 12 hours of water.
Right.
Proposition B has 1 hour of water for three times a day. That sounds like a limitation. Then she also says that you have in Proposition B several different agencies that are going to be in conflict with one another. Under Proposition B, there would be a challenge of which regulation is actually going to be used when you are determining whether a regulation has been violated or if you need to pursue criminal charges.
Correct.
That's correct. So, you know, the will of the people in my district, they voted for Proposition B. Big numbers. And I have to respect that because these are the people that I represent. But what I think you and I don't respect is when lobbyists come to us in the 11th hour to talk about this issue. And when lobbyists come to us and say, just merely vote no against the bill because your constituents want it. And they don't give us a reason why we should vote no. That is a slap in our face. I don't ever, ever want to see that lobbyist from the Humane Society in my office again. Because he could not give me any substantive matter on this puppy mill bill and how your bill, Senate Bill 113, devastates the welfare of puppies. We have established that Proposition B does not deal with rescues. Proposition B does not deal with shelters. Proposition B does not deal with pounds, yet it is messaged to our constituents that Proposition B is saving puppies. Now, when we consider the welfare of animals, I would think that the millions of dollars that came into the state, the millions upon millions of dollars from board members of PETA, board members of the Humane Society of the U.S. and of Missouri, they would bother to look up what's in current statute. They would bother to have a lobbyist that didn't come in at the 11th hour to describe what this bill does. Now, I don't know about you. I want to know, how do you feel about a lobbyist coming to you in the 11th hour on a bill? How do you feel?
I can tell you, normally that is not going to have an effect whatsoever on me. One thing I agree with you about, Senator, many people should have been at the table long before this week to discuss this issue. And there was good people in the state of Missouri that are animal activists that were at some point trying to do things on their own to make this a better bill. But the first red flag in this state should have come up when the entire number one industry in the state of Missouri in agriculture was opposed to this. Somebody should have said, why? And somebody should have come in, my belief, to the table and say, how do we make this better? Not, as quote, as you say, a lobbyist coming in the day before to tell you, you just need to vote no.
And not just the day before, a few minutes before. You know, that happened when I was a state rep once, and we were dealing with the CAFO bill, and someone from the Sierra Club came to me 3 minutes before we had the vote. Now, you can imagine what I was going to say to that person. And I looked at them like they were crazy. Because you don't do that. I mean, this is not the House. This is the Senate. This is where we clean up bills. This is where we study. There is a tradition here, and these lobbyists need to understand that we should not be taken for granted. I don't know about you, but I'm spending all my weekends looking at these bills, studying. Are you studying too?
Senator, I've put more work into this bill right here than probably most legislation I've dealt with since I've been in the legislation.
Now, my constituent, she's actually listening. Elizabeth is listening, but she was fired from the Department of Ag because my issue is twofold. Four people were fired from the Department of Agriculture. They were inspectors. She represented an urban area at first, went into rural Missouri. There were three out of these four that were fired, three who represented the rural areas, and one that was focusing on the urban areas. Those four people, when they were replaced, three went to the urban areas, and one went to the rural area. Now, tell me, where is animal abuse in the state of Missouri?
When we're talking about breeders and unlicensed breeders, you're talking rural Missouri for the most,
rural Missouri.
For the most part.
And there's a lawsuit against the state right now dealing with the Department of Ag and my constituent who was fired from the Department of Ag, someone who has incredible passion for animals. I mean, when I went home on these weekends to listen to her and see these pictures, I was amazed. I couldn't believe this. But for us to consider something, and we are only given short messages, little clips, vote no, vote no, vote no, little clips, little bitty clips. Well, tell me why I'm voting no. We're not doing our job. We wouldn't be doing our job at that point. And so I wanted to have this discussion with you as a continuation of our discussion that we had last evening with my constituent. I'm going to be voting against this bill, and I'm going to be voting against your clause, your emergency clause. But I wanted to make it clear, especially for the new members of this body who have not served in either house before, there is a responsibility that lobbyists have, and it's to educate your position for your members of whatever group that you are representing. Your job is not to put in millions and millions of dollars to pass a measure, and then all of a sudden we wake up one day and there are people who are just, you know, getting crazy, you know, calling. And I respect my constituents. I love my constituents. But I also want them to be educated on the issues, just as we are required in doing. Now, last night after you and I talked, I sent an email to one of my constituents who's concerned about this bill. And he said to me, Maria, I really want you to vote no on this bill. And I said, let me tell you something. I am going to speak on this bill, not in an adversarial way, but in a way that helps educate people who are involved in the governmental process. And then I started talking about the water requirements. Then I started talking about the discrepancies there. Then I started talking about some of the differences on how different agencies would have to cooperate, how an individual would have to figure out which part of the statute you're going to have to apply some of these criminal actions and et cetera. And he just wrote me back on my Facebook, and he says, thanks, Maria. You obviously have looked deeper into this than I. And I can be persuaded by facts and reason. Maybe I'm letting my overall distrust of the current majority influence my opinion. You should vote as you think best. That is a latte liberal, flaming latte liberal, saying to vote your conscience. When I woke up this morning, I knew that I had a conflict in this discussion of this bill because it was not properly brought to people like me who come from urban areas. There are people who are going to be voting against this bill who may not want to vote against this bill. And we have to ensure that every single bill that comes after this, we have a full discussion. Don't come to my, I'm just saying, don't come to my office and not have a full discussion. I don't care what the issue is. And I think that you would care about the same thing.
I would, Senator.
So I want to thank you for having this discussion where I've talked a little bit much. But in the future, we all have to be cognizant of what comes before us. We have to ask questions, be allowed to ask questions. And lobbyists, please, I hope they do not come in the 11th hour to start talking about an issue, whatever that issue may be, because we are spending our time in this body in Jefferson City, away from our families, away from our friends, away from home to do a job for the people. And much more is required of us than what was required of us in the House. And they should not ever take that for granted. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I was wondering if I might inquire of the Senator from the 14th.
Senator from the 14th, do you yield?
Yes.
She does. Proceed.
I'm sorry, Senator. I tried to do that as quickly as I could so you wouldn't become comfortable in your chair. I didn't do it fast enough. Senator, I have to tell you, you know, you and I served together in the House, right?
Yep.
And there may be been one or two times where you and I haven't just absolutely agreed on an issue.
A few times.
But I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I've admired about you, and I mean this genuinely, is you scour over bills. I mean, you read bills. We've served on several committees together, and I can remember many occasions where you would bring up something about a bill, and, you know, frankly, Senator, I you know, every once in a while I didn't agree with you, but I would sit there and I would say, my goodness, she really does dig into this stuff. And I, you know, I've always admired that, even though we haven't always come out on the same side of an issue. But, you know, I was sitting here, I was listening to the debate, I was listening to you speak with the bill handler, and you know, you mentioned something that I think is probably very important to a person like you that really does dig into these issues. You had mentioned that there was a particular lobbyist that had stopped by your office, and I didn't
it
get
stopped
to hear.
Me in the hall, actually.
Oh, stopped in the hall.
Stopped in the hall.
And did they? I mean, was it the type of situation where they were kind of taking you for granted and just thinking
well,
that?
Well, let's see. I forgot which senator that is. Another senator noticed this lobbyist. I'm new to this body. I don't know all of these faces. I didn't know the name of this lobbyist. And then I was teased a little bit later by one of our colleagues here. And he said, oh, you know, are you cozying up to whoever? And I said, who is that? And then it all made sense of who that is. And I understand, this is what I thought this morning, actually. It is pretty darn bad when a lobbyist is gone off on by the majority, but really, 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 really bad when someone of the minority doesn't like that lobbyist either. That's real bad.
So you're suspecting that this particular lobbyist is somebody that is not well liked by many people on the majority side here in the Senate?
I would say so. I don't like to be, one, I don't like to be pushed, period. You know, I like the advocacy from my constituents. I take them all very seriously. But when you come in the 11th hour to message some bill, I want you to vote no, I want you to vote yes, whatever it may be, you need to sit down in my office so we can have a full discussion. And then after we have that discussion, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do my little research that I always do, and then I'm going to come back with some questions, and I expect to have a dialogue back and forth. Not after 6 o'clock at night. Or, I'm sorry, like this morning, 2 minutes before we're in session today.
So I, you know, you and I probably find ourselves once again in a situation where we may not vote the same way on this particular issue. You know, my district was 56% against Prop B. So, you know, for me to hold true to the desires of my district, I of course am going to be voting yes on this bill, and I know that we never ask each other how we're going to vote on the Senate floor, so I'm not doing that right now. I'm just kind of figuring that it's interesting that you and I, well, no, I think you said a minute ago that you will be voting no. So I'm not asking you how you're going to vote. I think that's already a matter of public record. And so even though we find ourselves on opposite sides of this issue, we find ourselves united in the fact that we don't like the way a particular lobbyist handled themselves. And so I just wanted to get a little bit of clarification, because there are people that have been advocating, or I should say working against, the passage of Senate Bill 113.
Absolutely.
That I felt like have handled it wonderfully. I mean, people that have come to my office and sat down and had meaningful discussions with me, where they would talk about the particular aspects of the bill. And, you know, and frankly, one of them came to my office and actually said, "Hey, Senator, I understand, you know, your district voted 56% against Prop B, and so there's a chance that you know, you're not going to vote the way that we would prefer, but we did want to just have a discussion with you." And I appreciated that. I thought that was very professional.
That's the way it's supposed
that,
to happen.
That person, even though, you know, we're not together on this issue, that person is always going to be welcome in my office. You know why? Because they sat down and they treated the issue with the respect that the issue deserves. You understand
what
I'm saying?
And they didn't take you for granted.
They didn't take me for granted. And it's not even, I don't even think it's that people like you and I are looking so much that we be treated with respect, as it is that we expect these issues to be treated with respect. These
Absolutely.
Issues are very important to our constituents. And so I just wanted to make sure that you weren't talking about a lobbyist that I think did a wonderful job on this issue.
No, now, there's a specific lobbyist.
Was it a male or a female?
It was a male.
Okay, good.
It was
because
a male.
One of the lobbyists that I thought did a really good job was a female,
mm-hmm.
and one was a male. And so now what we've done through this discussion is we've eliminated the possibility of that female lobbyist that I thought handled this very well. Mm-hmm. I know that we're not talking about her. So if you don't mind, I know that you've been a little bit reluctant to name names, and I certainly appreciate that. Although I've always seen and admired you to be a person of courage and a person that's willing to educate the public. And so I guess maybe would you say this person, because the other person that came,
you know this person.
Do you think I might?
I think you
well,
know this
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to assume anything. The other person that came to my office, now that we've eliminated the female lobbyist that I thought did a really good job, the other person that came to my office, the male, who I thought did a really great job, I certainly don't want to try to guess anybody's age or insult anybody, but I think that he would be perfectly okay with me saying that I'm pretty sure that his age category was probably over 50. Are you talking about a bad lobbyist that did a bad job on this issue, took you for granted, and all that kind of stuff? Was that person, would you guess that person to be over 50 or under 50?
I think I would say somewhere between maybe 37 and 47. I don't know.
Yeah, the one that I'm suspecting is actually a little younger than that. But
okay.
But Maybe we could get to where, I just wonder, because here's the thing, you know.
He looked young, but I don't think he looked like 50.
And I don't want to belabor this, you know, I mean, it's Thursday, we all want to kind of start moving in the direction of our homes, but I do think it's important because, you know, there's only 34 of us. There's only 34 of us. It can't be that hard for a well-paid lobbyist to be able to sit down and have a substantive discussion with all 34 of us. I mean, is that too much to ask?
I think that would be,
I mean, listen, even when you're talking about a lobbyist that has a horrible track record, who can't seem to get anything done in this building, even when you're talking about that kind of lobbyist, I would still think that they would be smart enough to know that they can get, there's only 34 of
you
us.
You know, and we have lobby friends. We have friends who are lobbyists. We have people who are lobbyists that we don't really know because we're new to this chamber. But then occasionally, and this happens 2% of the time, there is a lobbyist that you just really can't stand from first impression.
Ooh.
And I would say this person is a person that I really couldn't stand from first impression.
Kind of has the ability to rub you the wrong way without ever rubbing you, right?
Yeah, pretty bad.
It's weird how some people just have that quality, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, I don't know why the Humane Society actually hired this person. They should probably...
Oh, they were hired by the Humane Society.
Yeah, they should probably get another lobbyist.
Oh, we're narrowing it down. We're narrowing it down.
Yeah, I think they should probably get another lobbyist.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, sometimes people might, you know, because you know how well, I don't know if organizations can do this, but you know how sometimes in the business world, I've heard that people will actually, certain businesses will actually take on a project knowing that they're going to lose money, but for their taxing structure, they're thinking, well, we need something to lose money on. And so I don't think that you and I should get into a position where we're advising people on who they should or should not hire.
No.
It could be that the Humane Society of the United States, I don't know, I'm not saying this to be fact, I'm just saying maybe they needed to lose some money, and so they looked at the track record of different lobbyists, and they said, who's the lobbyist that would make it most likely for us to lose? And then they hired that. I mean, does that sound reasonable?
I think that's accurate, right?
Now,
on target.
Okay, so we've established that this person is a male. We've established that they are likely under the age of 50.
Yes.
And now we've discovered that they were hired by the Humane Society of the United States.
Yep.
And I know that you don't really want to say, I was wondering if maybe I'll mention their initials. The person that I'm thinking that would fit the description of a lobbyist that doesn't have sense enough to realize there's only 34 of us, and that maybe he should come and speak to each one of us and have substantive discussions with us. That's criteria number one. Criteria number two, a lobbyist who has a great track record of never being able to get anything done in this building. A lobbyist who is so inept that not only do almost everybody in the majority hate this guy, but now people in the minority are beginning to hate this guy as well. When I think of that track record, along with it's a male under the age of 50, da da da, I just wonder if you'd be willing to tell me if the initials of that person are James Harris. Oh, I'm sorry. Doggone it. I meant to say J.H. and I accidentally said James Harris.
I think you're accurate. That's
wow.
Right.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, Senator, I do appreciate the way that you look at issues on a very passionate basis. I appreciate the way that you dig into things. And, you know, the more time that you and I spend together, we find a few more things that we can agree about.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
It's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing. So, anyway, hey, I appreciate you educating the body. I appreciate you educating the people that might be in the hallways or listening on the internet. And I think it is valuable. And I don't want anybody to think that what I'm doing here is singling out a particular lobbyist. That's not what I'm doing. I'm using an object lesson.
We're just talking about the practice. I mean, you and I have both served in the House. Many of us have served in the House. And what is required of us, it has increased. And we have greater responsibility. We all have families that we have to go back home to. So we take every single issue very seriously because we do not want to at all disenfranchise our constituents at all, but we want to be educated on the issue. And any time there is a movement to push something, and your constituents, who I love and respect, and yours as well, you
do you love and respect mine too?
Some of them, not all.
Oh.
I love and respect you though.
I know.
Anyway, so when that happens, when we come into this body, we are sacrificing so much in our personal lives so that we can do the job of the people. And in order to do that, we need to all be well-equipped with the facts and with the information. Just because I am representing the inner core of Missouri and you are representing the area that you represent does not mean that if there's an issue that your constituents would support wholeheartedly, that you don't have to be educated on the issue. We have to, because when we were over on the other side, you know, we depended on our colleagues. Someone had the expertise in something. You know, we couldn't look at all of those bills, but now we do. Now there's an expectation, there's a responsibility that has increased it. And I feel it when I go home. I'm exhausted. I study on the weekends. I had two study sessions with one of my businesses in 1 week, just so I can understand a concept of a bill. That was like a total of 8 or 9 hours on Sunday and then on a Friday. Those are the times where you expect to spend with your family. That's the dedication that each and every single one of us have in this body. So when someone comes to you in the 11th hour or 3 or 4 minutes before session, you know, they're really not doing us justice. They're not doing justice for the people that they're representing. And I just wanted to use this opportunity as an educational moment for those people who walk the halls every day.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I did in my previous life before coming to the legislature is I was a substitute teacher. And then I was also a business speaker, and I don't know if I ever did a good job at either one of those things, but I do remember that in both those capacities, you know, there was this suggestion that whenever you talk about something important that you kind of recap at the end.
Check.
Okay. And so I just, because this is one of those times where you and I seem to be very much in agreement, I just, you know, for the edification of those who might be listening to this somewhat unusual time where you and I are in full agreement about something, I thought it might be worth recapping. So would you mind if I recap this just a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I think what I heard you say, and if you don't mind, if you would just kind of give a yes or no as I go through each of these. I think I heard you clearly say that something to the effect of there are only 34 of us, and a decent lobbyist will probably find the time to visit with us in a substantive manner on important bills.
Check.
Okay. I think I also heard you say something to the effect of that, let me cover this very clearly because I don't want there to be any confusion. I wonder if you're not in any way suggesting, because I wouldn't do this either, I am not suggesting, nor do I believe you're suggesting, that anybody would or would not hire any particular lobbyist. That's probably not something that it's ethically right for us to do. I mean, we would never suggest.
But I'm sorry, I have to, you know, go a little bit further in this. We would not want to be involved in that, but if you are an entity representing a cause, you would want the best person to represent you in
sure.
the building.
But you might
someone who could deliver to you.
There might be times where an entity might actually want to lose a lot of money and lose a lot of time, and then there are people that they can pick for that as well. So, all right, well, good. I'll tell you, I know we're all anxious to get home and try to have some of that valuable family time, and I really appreciate you. Educating us the way that you have, and indulging me in this conversation. So, I want to
thank you, Senator, for this.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Every Friday when I go home, I have a coffee for my constituents. We meet at the same coffee shop at the same time every Friday morning. and folks come and they like to hear what's happening down in Jefferson City. But I have to tell you that over the last few weeks, while the numbers haven't been dwindling, I've had some threats from folks who say that the news is getting so bad and so embarrassing out of this state capitol that they really don't want to come and get the bad news anymore, because then they just move from the coffee shop to the local bar where they have to sit and drink for the rest of the day to drown their sorrows about what they're hearing coming out of Jefferson City. You know, I was kind of looking at some of the things we've done this year. I thought that at the beginning of session, we talked about our number one priorities being able to responsibly balance the budget and then put Missourians back to work, emphasizing, of course, our dedication to education here in the state of Missouri. I thought those were our priorities. But for those keeping score at home, the stories that I've had to go home and tell my folks at the coffee shop on Friday morning, let's see, we sent a strongly worded message to another branch of government about interfering in a federal issue. We have been preventing 13,212 Missourians who were previously employed from getting their unemployment benefits that the federal government has said is okay, and that if we don't accept, even though we've already paid in that money, it's going to go back to the feds, and our Missourians are going to lose out. We've given an $87 million tax break to corporations, even though I thought we were still at about $300 million in our budget gap. Today we made it easier to discriminate against employees and make it easier to fire folks under the guise of creating new jobs. And now it looks like we're getting ready to undo the will of Missouri voters. And I tell you what, I think I'm starting to understand why there is an incredible lack of confidence in elected officials in this state and across the country. You know, if we actually voted with our constituents today, if we actually voted to uphold how they voted, the majority of us in this chamber, actually our constituents said, yes, we want Proposition B. And I'm not one of those who thinks that our constituents are too stupid to know what they're voting on. I think our constituents are very smart, and I think they understand and they knew what they were voting on. But there are 18 of us in here today that have an unusual situation, because, you know, we don't live in a pure democracy. We live in a representative democracy. And we're sent down here to use our best judgment on what our constituents would want us to do. And it's very rare that we actually have some numbers to back up an issue that's on the floor, numbers that are very, very recent. As a matter of fact, only about 4 months ago. And, you know, right now there are 18 of us in this chamber whose constituents, whose voters said, we want Proposition to pass. You know, the senator from Green, 50.9% of your constituents. Senator from the 2nd, 53.5%. The senator from Buchanan, 58.8% of your constituents wanted Proposition B. Senator from the 8th, 60.4%. Senator from Jefferson, 60.7%. The senator from the 23rd, 64.8%, voted to pass Proposition B. Senator from the 7th, 65.4%. Senator from Clay, 67.7%. Tying the senator from Clay, the senator from the 11th with 67.7%. The senator from the 24th, 69%. Senator from the 15th, 70.1%. The senator from the 1st, Prop B passed in your district, 70.4%. The senator from the 14th, 70.5%. Senator from the 9th, 72.8%. Senator from the 13th, 73.3%. In my district, we love dogs in my district, 75.9%. Senator from the 4th, 78%. And the senator from the 5th, you'll be glad to know that you came in on top. 79.4% of your voters voted for Proposition B. We have a message from our voters that is just 4 months ago. It's not 30 years ago. It's not 2 years ago. It's 4 months ago. We know how our constituents want us to vote. I hope, senators, that you will uphold the will of your voters and vote against this bill today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
To speak to the bill.
Proceed.
I think one of the greatest things that's happened in this country in the past two or 2.5 years has been a whole universe of people that picked their heads up in the private sector, people who have never been involved in politics before, and decided to get involved, that they knew something was going on, they didn't feel like they were in control of, they didn't want to get involved, but they decided it was time to pick their heads up and get involved. And I certainly think I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people that did that. I have a lot to learn. I'm learning as I go, you might say. This is week 9. I think one of the things I've learned with certainty, given all our discussions about not just this bill, but lots of other bills, is that there's a risk to legislating this way by proposition. I think I'm quite confident that my district read the bill, did their best to understand the bill, and voted their will. But I think it's unfortunate. I don't think they know who exactly is crafting that message. But this is the process we have, and we're learning as we go. I think this is a very dangerous way to legislate. Now, I'm not the only person that picked their heads up and decided to get involved. My daughter Charlotte, she's 18, she picked her head up and she decided to get involved. And this was an issue that was very important to her. And I think that what's interesting to watch where the young people were in this election cycle, and in my area, the young people were behind this bill, or this proposition. They're learning just like me. So what they learned, and what they just couldn't believe, is that the week after the proposition passed was all this talk of overturning the legislature. Well, they didn't know that could happen. That was new to them. So you know what? We're all kind of learning together. I won't support this bill. I'll represent my citizens, and I'll use this as an opportunity to continue to learn and also to help them to continue to learn to know that after this vote's taken today, that this process isn't over. It's just like when the proposition passed, that wasn't the end. There was this opportunity, and if this bill goes through, there's another step, and that this bill will go to the governor's desk. And I'm talking to you now, Charlotte, and all your friends. I said, don't stop. Don't stop lobbying these people. Don't stop lobbying me. But there's one more chance, and that chance is when that bill hits the governor's desk, that he's got to make a decision and let your voice be heard.
Further discussion. Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, briefly talk on this bill.
Proceed.
I just got an email I wanted to relate to you all. It's from Winston, and he says, I'm here at the kennel. I can't wait for you to get home. Shut up and vote on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator from Polk, recognize the close.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I was trying to think how to close, and I know the simplest way is to say the words, but I suppose for me, as I listened to the debate in here this morning, I looked up here on our chamber, and it says, free and fair discussion will ever be found the firmest friend to the truth. I don't think $6 million initiative petitions fit in that category up there to change what happens in this state. And that's a problem we're going to be seeing in the future. And with that, Mr. President, I close.
The senator from Polk renews his motion that Senate Bill numbers 135 and 113 and 95 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Okay. Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bills 113 and 95, an act relating to the care of dogs with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevenie, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones,
by your vote of 20 aye, 14 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Senator from Polk, you're recognized for a motion for an emergency clause.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the adoption of the emergency clause.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll on the emergency clause.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kavanaugh, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Okay, what is it? And what did the Munslinger write? Okay.
By your vote of 18 aye, 15 no, the emergency clause fails by failure to receive a two-thirds majority. If there's no objection, let the journal show. The titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Staying on the third reading calendar of Senate bills, Senate Bill 63, the senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 63 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have. The ayes do have. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 63 be read a third time and finally passed. This bill sets up the Southeast Missouri Regional Water District, which consists of seven counties in Southeast Missouri. And it deals with a couple of aquifers, the Lowlands Groundwater Province, and also a aquifer that is the source of water comes from seepage from the Mississippi River. This bill would, if passed, actually prevent a major water user from taking out over 100,000 gallons of water a day. And if that should happen, and if it unduly interferes with the reasonable and customary activities of another major water user, an injunction could be put in place by that one landowner or major water user or by the Attorney General. And so with that, I'm open for question and renew my motion.
The senator from Stoddard moves that Senate Bill 63 be read a third time and be placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, senators recognize closed.
I close.
The senator from Stoddard moves that Senate Bill number 63 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 63, an act relating to major water users. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kavanaugh, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Davies. Senator from the 1st. Senator from Cape Girardeau. By your vote of 34 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show. The titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Reports of standing committees?
The order of business is reports from standing committees. Senator from Clay.
Mr. President, I have a report.
Please send that report forward, and when it gets to the dais, Madam Secretary, please read the reports.
Mr. President, your Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families, to which was referred Senate Bill 17, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 62 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Ridgway, Chairman.
Senator from Howe.
Yes, Mr. President, in my zeal to pass the thickest bill ever passed through this body, I have a report.
Somewhat uncharacteristic of you, Senator, but please send that report forward, and when it arrives, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, to which is referred Senate Bill 280, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass.
Senator from Saline, or pardon me, Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is an honor and privilege to report that your Committee on Finance, Government Organizations, and Elections has a report.
Thank you for your hard work and your committee members. Senator, and please send that report forward. When it arrives, Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which is referred Senate Bill 306, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 282 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 226 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Now, the Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report when it arrives at the dais.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, to which was referred Senate Bill 131, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Stouffer, Chairman.
Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee on Judiciary has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, to which was referred Senate Bill 237, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Senate Bill 165 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Senate Bill 250 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 116 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Senator Goodman, Chairman.
Senator from St. Charles, 2nd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report. Send forward.
Send it forward, Senator. When it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business Insurance and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 202, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 176 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 175 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Roop, Chairman.
Senator from the 7th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on General Laws has a report, including a bill from you.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the reports when they arrive at the dais.
Mr. President, your Committee on General Laws, to which was referred Senate Bill 242, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 65 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 37 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 220 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from Johnson.
I have a report from the Hardworking Education Committee.
Thank you, Senator. Glad you've done your homework, and please send that report forward. When it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Education, to which was referred Senate Bill 247, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 81 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 54 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Pierce, Chairman.
Senator from St. Louis County's 1st District.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is a handsome necktie you have on today.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate the compliment. You're a
Mr.
kind
President,
man.
Your Committee on Governmental Accountability has a report.
Please send that forward, Senator. When it arrives at the dais, please read that report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability, to which was referred Senate Bill 200, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 72 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Lemke, Chairman.
Senator from the 15th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report when it arrives at the dais.
Mr. President, your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government, to which was referred Senate Bill 36, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Schmidt, Chairman.
Senator from Lewis.
President, your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources has a report.
Please send it forward.
Yeah, he's got. I didn't have that down. But.
Madam Secretary, please hold that report. I've overlooked the senator from Boone. If he has a report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee on appropriations has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that forward. My apologies for overlooking you. Please read the report, Madam Secretary.
Mr. President, your Committee on Appropriations, to which was referred Senate Bill 322, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Schaefer, Chairman.
Yeah. I believe, Madam Secretary, you do have the report from the Senator from Lewis. Is that correct? Please read that report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources, to which was referred Senate Bill 29, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Joint Resolution 11 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Munslinger, Chairman.
Thank you. Senator from St. Charles, 23rd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the House? And if there are, would you please have them read?
Do we have messages from the House? We do. Please read those messages, Madam Secretary.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for House Bill 174, an act relating to higher education governing boards. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 112 and 285, an act relating to classification of certain real property. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 266, an act relating to weight limitations for vehicles hauling livestock and agricultural products. Also, House Bill 339, an act relating to telecommunications. Also, House Bill 167, an act relating to driver's examinations. Also, House Joint Resolution 2, a joint resolution relating to the right to pray, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumlish, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. I ask you to recognize me for an announcement.
Announcement, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. For debate on Monday, have asked members to prepare for Senate Bill 1. Thank you.
Further announcements. The senior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Announced that your Senate Select Committee on Redistricting has a public hearing tomorrow in Kansas City at the UMKC campus. That is at 12:30 in the afternoon, and that is in the University Center on UMKC's campus tomorrow.
Further announcements. Further announcements. Seeing none, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills on second reading.
Senate bills on second reading. The Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 418.
Senate Bill 418, an act relating to voting methods.
Financial and governmental organizations. Senate Bill 419.
Senate Bill 419, an act relating to the Kansas City Police Department.
General laws. Senate Bill 420.
Senate Bill 420, an act relating to the Second Injury Fund.
Small business, insurance, and industry. Senate Bill 421.
Senate Bill 421, an act relating to felons holding public office.
Financial and governmental organizations. Senate Bill 422.
Senate Bill 422, an act relating to the renewable energy standard.
Commerce and Consumer Protection, Senate Bill 423.
Senate Bill 423, an act relating to natural resources.
Commerce and Consumer Protection, Senate Bill 424.
Senate Bill 424, an act relating to the Secretary of State.
General laws, Senate Bill 425.
Senate Bill 425, an act relating to offenses in which the value of property or services is an element of the crime.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence, Senate Bill 426.
Senate Bill 426, an act relating to security deposits.
General laws, Senate Bill 427.
Senate Bill 427, an act relating to the repeal of the compensating use tax.
Ways and means, Senate Bill 428.
Senate Bill 428, an act relating to reimbursement for the transport of persons to and from mental health facilities.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 429.
Senate Bill 429, an act relating to nurse staffing levels and health care facilities.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 430.
Senate Bill 430, an act relating to workers' compensation.
Small business, Senate Bill 431.
Senate Bill 431, an act relating to direct mail marketing.
Commerce and Consumer Protection, Senate Bill 432.
Senate Bill 432, an act relating to transparency in state purchases.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 433.
Senate Bill 433, an act relating to deeds of trust.
Judiciary.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on second reading.
House bills on second reading. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 46.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 46, an act relating to fire sprinkler system installation.
Jobs, economic development. House Bill 71.
House Bill 71, an act relating to the St. Louis Police Force.
Financial and governmental organizations, House Bill 139.
House Bill 139, an act relating to the Missouri Accountability Portal.
General laws.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until Monday, March 14th, 2011 at 4 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned until Monday, March 14th at 2 p.m. 4 p.m. March 14th at 4 p.m. We are adjourned under the rules. Have a safe travel to home. We are adjourned under the rules.